tweet at TodaySOR.
As we know, the COVID-19 pandemic has led to a major economic shock that's already having a big negative impact on the European Union. And this fresh challenge, of course, comes as engagements have just about been getting underway on a post-Brexit trade deal between the European Union and Britain. I am joined on the line from Brussels by Commissioner, European Commissioner for Trade, Phil Hogan. Commissioner, good morning to you. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning, John.
First of all, we're getting reports this morning that the Commission has approved an Irish government scheme to support companies affected by the coronavirus worth €200 million. What can you tell us about that?
Well, this is, I suppose, a series of initiatives that the European Commission are working with member states in order to help keep companies alive. It can take the form of direct grants. It can take the form of state guarantees for loans taken by companies from banks. It can be subsidised public loans to companies, or it can help towards short-term export credit insurance. So it's a matter now for Minister Humphreys to draw up the necessary framework that she can target, whatever is the appropriate company size, but also the nature of the sectors that badly need help.
And is this typical of the kind of thing that member states are doing for their own industries in their own states?
Yeah, 25 out of the 27 member states now have got approval for state aid flexibility. This is a crisis, obviously, that everybody knows about, and therefore all the rules have to be changed or indeed abandoned in order to give the maximum flexibility to member states to be able to save their companies, save jobs and save business.
Commissioner, just on a technical side, are you by any chance on a speakerphone there? There's a bit of a hiss on the line, and I'm advised that maybe if you just went onto the handpiece, it might give a slightly better quality. I don't know if you're in a position to adjust that. Okay, well, look, thank you indeed for joining us in any event. Look, how concerned are you about the fact that states are retreating into their own, I suppose, protective cocoon, if you pardon the use of that word? There's another context for it, as we know at the moment. But many borders across the European Union are closed, even ones that remained open during the migrant crisis.
Well, every effort is being made in order to maintain the single market, in order to have dedicated lanes for borders, in order to allow traffic through, particularly for goods, to be able to traverse the boundaries and borders, to get products to the markets, to get essential services, essential products to people that need it at this very difficult time. And, of course, we have mobilised 40 different decisions and €37 billion in the last 2 weeks, plus what you saw announced by the European Central Bank and the European Investment Bank, to try and help businesses to cope with these great difficult situations. And I think that the government of Ireland and indeed other member states did something very good in terms of trying to keep the connectivity between employers and employees through this crisis, so that when the recovery comes, they're able to get back to work more quickly.
And that's very good in the individual level at which it applies, and the more of it, the better, I suppose, people will be saying. But there's probably a broader, maybe you could see it as a philosophical debate, Commissioner. I'm looking at a headline in this morning's Washington Post, Coronavirus kills its first democracy, namely Hungary, where the government yesterday passed an emergency law stipulating 5-year prison sentences for Hungarians found to be spreading false information. Effectively, it's government by decree there. I mean, how concerned should we be about that?
Well, we should be concerned about it, and the Commission has started its analysis of that legislation and exactly what it means for the rule of law, which is something that we take very seriously. The EPP, the European People's Party, of which Fidesz has been a member of, is suspended from the EPP. It's the only political member party of any political group that has been suspended in the last 5 years, and now I'm sure that when this analysis is carried out and the work is done by the legal service here, we will be discussing this in the Commission either tomorrow or tomorrow week to see what actions have to be taken and to fully understand and fully inform ourselves about what has been passed.
And of course, divisions as well are a bit of a spat late last week among the European finance ministers, who have failed, I think, twice at this stage to agree how to resolve the economic fallout from coronavirus. A big debate about whether there should be euro bonds issued, for instance.
Well, look, the recovery phase is going to be very important, but I suppose the here and now is the health phase in order to save people's lives. But the European Commission will not, and I hope that I can speak with the support of the European member states, we're not going to leave any country behind. Each member state will be drawing up its own plans for recovery, like the German government have already announced €356 billion. They're in a good financial shape, but not every country is in that financial shape. So the nine prime ministers that wrote to the European Council President Charles Michel last week to discuss this issue. I suppose we need a mixture of tools, a mixture of instruments to deal with the debt and deal with investments for the future. This is what is the normal course of discourse. There's always a difference of opinion about what the ideal solution will be, but at the end of the day, there will have to be a solution found, and it will be.
Now, before coronavirus was ever heard of, you were already facing into very difficult negotiations with Britain, and you had the first meeting yesterday, held remotely, between the EU-UK Joint Committee set up to implement the Brexit withdrawal agreement, including the protocol in Northern Ireland. Can you give us an assessment of the state of play on that front at the moment? Because it's kind of faded from the headlines for reasons we are all familiar with.
Well, I suppose this is the first meeting of the Joint Committee, and it's a meeting really that talked about how we're going to move the process on about implementation of the withdrawal agreement. We don't want a situation that will arise that at the end of the year that everybody is unsure about what the implications are for the withdrawal agreement and the implementation of it. So in parallel with the work that's going on in the next phase of the negotiations is the implementation of what we have already agreed. And there are six specialised committees on the key areas of the implementation of the withdrawal agreement. And the one that, of course, that a specialised committee on Northern Ireland and implementing that protocol, this will be engaging without delay and discussing and preparing whatever decisions are needed by the Joint Committee. And I expect that there'll be some decisions have to be made by June.
But is the British government adhering still to the line that we've heard so often from Boris Johnson down, that there'd be unfettered access to goods moving from Great Britain to Northern Ireland under these new arrangements, which seems to run totally contrary to what was agreed?
Well, I expect that the British Prime Minister and the UK government will implement what they've agreed and what they've signed up to. Their signature surely is worth something, and I think that they will value that signature to the extent that they will implement what they have already agreed last October, which is the issues around customs, the issues around sanitary and phytosanitary issues, in order to ensure that we have no hard border on the island of Ireland and that we have the protocols in place to protect the protect the integrity of the single market.
A lot of government attention has now been diverted, not just in Britain but elsewhere, but particularly so in Britain, towards dealing with the coronavirus crisis. And already it was seen as very far-fetched, the idea that you would get the trade agreement finalised by the end of this year, and yet it's there written in UK legislation. Do you think that there is going to be an extension required, or that it will actually happen?
Well, I think the crisis really has derailed everybody's plans in the European Union or indeed the United Kingdom or indeed the United States or anywhere around the world. So I'm sure that the United Kingdom are not immune at all to the reality that it's all hands on deck in order to deal with this massive pandemic. And it has come out of the blue. Nobody planned for it or expected it to the extent that it has come. And nobody in the world were prepared for the extent of it. So I'm sure that in due course that the United Kingdom government will evaluate where they are, especially when it comes to June, when they have to trigger the transition. And I think we should leave it to the United Kingdom to make that decision in their own way, in their own time.
Right, but still the possibility of a hard Brexit is still there. I mean, it seems almost unthinkable that either economy, be it in Europe or the United Kingdom, could handle two major economic shocks in the course of a year.
Well, there is a transition continues for the remainder of 2020. And it's only by the end of the year that we will have the issues about the withdrawal agreement and the issues about the future negotiations will crystallise. But one way or the other, there is going to be a situation on the 1st of January 2021 where we're out of the customs union and we're out of the single market. So things will be different even if we have a deal. And even if, of course, if we have no deal, it's going to be a lot worse. So I think people should be preparing on the basis of what the implications for their business and for their activity generally by being out of the customs union and be out of the single market from the 1st of January 2021. That's as much as we can do at the moment. And we'll see where it takes us, and we'll see if the United Kingdom want to extend the time. I'm sure that the European Union will stand ready to accommodate whatever request the United Kingdom will make in due course.
But you would be reasonably hopeful, would you, of getting agreement on those six issues that have these subcommittees set up to deal with them?
Well, this is what we agreed, and we're going to make as much progress as we possibly can, and I hope that we will reach agreement on all of them. It's hugely important that people get certainty and predictability as soon as possible in order to get on with doing their business and get on with their travel arrangements on an all-island basis and between the islands and between the European Union. There's a lot of infrastructure has to be put in place in administrations right around the European Union and what everybody is demanding. And I think this is underestimated by the United Kingdom. It's the European Union are not in any way seeking to delay any of these arrangements being put in place and any agreement with the United Kingdom, because we want certainty and predictability as much as they do.
Yeah, and as we know, many meetings that would usually or ordinarily happen in Brussels or Strasbourg or in a European capital, they're now taking place of necessity via video conference, including even European Council meetings, as happened last week. Is this something that you would expect and think should be continued, Commissioner, particularly, say, from a climate change perspective, once the crisis is behind us?
Well, I'm not a technological literate person too much myself, Sean, maybe you are, but certainly at the end of the day, you have to deal with the circumstances that you find yourselves in. I have certainly found the system that we have put in place where I have a meeting every morning with 9 other commissioners were to discuss the ongoing situation on the coronavirus and to make decisions and implement plans in trying to deal with this problem of the health issue and also the problem of the economic recovery. So, look, I think that life will change for everybody after this experience. And in the coming months, I suspect that every human resources person in the country will evaluate whether the teleconferencing, video conferencing has worked or not, and in terms of productivity for their employees or their company generally. So I think we're going to see changed circumstances in society and economically in the coming months and years.
You were close to finalising a mini European Union-US trade deal before the outbreak of coronavirus. What's the situation now on that?
Well, we've made a good lot of progress, but things are on hold at the moment until such time as we see the outcome of the pandemic. And like all administrations, Sean, have put all of the other issues aside and they're dealing with one issue, which is the risk to the lives of their people, and that's the way it should be.
Finally, I know you're very busy for obvious reasons with the European trade matters, coronavirus and so forth, but I think you probably do get an odd moment where you can cast a glance towards the country you know best and national politics that you're not involved in obviously anymore here. But what do you make of this talk about a national unity government perhaps being the way to go forward for the next maybe 6 to 12 months?
Well, I think you need unity anyway, that's for sure. And I think you see a lot of unity in Ireland and indeed elsewhere at the moment to deal with this greatest challenge that we've had in our lifetime. Everybody has to, as I say, put their shoulder to the wheel. It's not just in Ireland, but also globally. We can only win if we work together. And that spirit of unity is very evident by the good work that's happening under the leadership of the Taoiseach and the Minister for Health and indeed all political parties to ensure that the people and the communities and organisations like the GAA, like the farmers' organisations, are coming together to provide essential needs. And hopefully this won't be forgotten when the crisis is over.
Yeah,
we will see that the coming together of all of these people in a unified way.
I'm not going to
in any way preempt what the discussions might be going on at the moment between major political parties about forming a government in Ireland. That's not my role.
Would you have a problem about Sinn Féin being involved?
Sean, you can ask me all the questions you like about domestic politics today, about who's going to form a government. I leave that to the politicians that were elected in February 2020.
Fair enough. Phil Hogan, European Commissioner for Trade, thank you very much indeed for joining us.